pressure after someone like even Steve was in, because he organizes everything. I think I gave him one word, and he ran with all of that. So he obviously does a great job. We want to thank the men that lead the singing as well as those that read. When I was 17 years old, me and probably four or five of my friends were going to a basketball game. We pulled in, and of course, you know, whenever you're 17, you eat everything that's not nailed down. And we went to Taco Bell. We had a bunch of food. And on the way out, we kind of got going, and we pulled over on the side of the road because we didn't know where it was at. It was an away basketball game, probably one of those terrible schools like Manual or something like that. So we were going there. And so we pulled over. We're all talking. We're saying, hey, you go up here. You take a ride. And we were in the front car, and the driver in the back car got out of his car and just standing up talking to us. And he was kind of pulled over where there was a pylon or a building there. And all of a sudden, in the back, we saw this car just fly up, and it just nailed the back end of his car. Now, with this, the guy that was in that car was is a tremendous person, I'll tell you that much. He just got a college scholarship to play baseball, just a class act guy. And so I looked back there and I thought, oh man, this guy's dead. That's what I really thought. And we go up there and that whole car, it curled around. He's a big boy. He was probably 280 pounds. Wasn't hurt at all. That whole car just wrapped around him. And the door even bent in a way to where he wasn't hurt, unscathed completely. So we got him out and, you know, he was just like someone just, we could just pick him up and take him out. The whole car was total and everything. And he was obviously very, very tore up. And I remember thinking that, you know, this kid is lucky. He's lucky to be alive. And he was very tore up. And he just kept saying, man, I should be dead. I should be dead. And what he knew that I didn't know, that he realized how blessed he was that day. You know, someone or God was really looking out for him. And it was an amazing thing. When you see pictures of the car, and you say this guy's dead, and he played in, if I'm not mistaken, played in a basketball game or a baseball game, you know, the next week or something. And, for years, I didn't want to use the term blessed, and I don't know why. It's probably just being young and stupid. I thought, man, you sound corny or something like that. But I think that we can all agree with everything that we've got, everything that God's given us, that we can truly say that we are blessed. I can tell you this, we're not lucky, we're not smart, we're not hard workers, we're not talented, we're blessed. And I just truly believe that. As I look around here, I see a lot of folks who have gone through tremendous challenges. I see ones that have lost loved ones. I see ones that have struggled with sick children. I see ones that have lost their children. They were raised in the church to the world. And as bad as all these things are, we are still tremendously blessed. One of the main reasons why we're blessed is we're blessed because God is our Heavenly Father. If you would please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll just read the first verse there. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they do not know Him. So, we're extremely blessed because God's our Heavenly Father, but we're also blessed for other reasons when it comes to God. We're blessed because God is our source of every good and perfect gift. Everything that we have that's good comes from God. Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Remember that when I read that verse, what I think of the term is ask. We have to remember we have to ask for things. And how do we do that? We do that through our prayers. I think any of us can tell if you go through life and maybe you go through a rough time and you're not, you know, things aren't going as well. If you look back, a lot of times you can be, you know what, I haven't prayed hard enough, or I haven't talked to God, I haven't laid my heart out to Him. And if we do that, He's going to listen. And that's a beautiful thing. Prayer is the difference. If we teach our children that at a young age, that prayer is the difference, you know, that's going to be the difference for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of God, all of comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort for which we ourselves receive from God." So we know God's our Heavenly Father. We know that He's the source of every good and perfect gift that we have. We know that He's going to comfort us in our times of afflictions. And the one that I take a lot of comfort in is that He has promised to never forsake us. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" When we get feeling sorry for ourselves or down, we can remember that God is our Father, who gave us everything, who comforts us in need, and has promised to never forsake us. It's powerful when you really think about that. This is a powerful gift that should be on our minds, not on Sundays, not on Wednesdays, but every day, because it should guide how we live. We're blessed by God, but we're also blessed that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our High Priest. Open your Bibles to Revelation, the first chapter, verse 5. Revelation, the first chapter. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father." Think about what Jesus has done for us. Because of His sacrifice, we can have our sins washed away, and we can have the hope of eternal life. Jesus has all the authority in heaven and in earth, and everyone is subject to Him. But in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 11, He calls us His brother, a bunch of sinners like us. He's also our High Priest who intercedes on our behalf. He understands our every feelings. We can't hide from that, folks. How blessed are we to have Jesus in our lives? When we're down, remember He knows every way we feel, and what He has for us to do is to talk to Him, to pray to Him, and He's going to help us. We're also blessed that the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The Holy Spirit gives us strength to put away our fleshly deeds so that we can have a hope of heaven. The Holy Spirit also helps us with our weaknesses because He is going to help by interceding with us as well. You've got the Holy Spirit working in your behalf. We have God, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. But there's one that often gets overlooked, and that one's our church family. Right in this very room, in Christians everywhere, we have people that serve as our family. It's a blessing that is overlooked to know that I have people here that, I could probably name just about everyone in here, a brother, a sister, a mom figure, a dad figure, a kid figure. You can see that if you look for it. Now, if you don't want to look for it, you can obviously always find something to complain about. There's a click here, a problem there. It's never going to be perfect, but it's all here for us, but it's what we make of it. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, along with purity." Now, you guys figure out who the older and younger is, because I'm not going to go there. But each and every one of these members are our fathers, our brothers, our sisters. And if we can all just take a tremendous amount of comfort in that with our spiritual family. Our spiritual family can even replace physical relationships that we may lose when we become Christians. I know a lot of people who, if they become Christians, have lost members of their family. Or even more than lost, you can't have dealings with. Maybe maybe your brother was someone that was a drinking buddy. You know, he's still your brother, but there is a degree of separation, that closeness that's not going to be there. And you can gain that through others. I think of Sherry Durbin. Sherry Durbin has said many times, you know, hey, this is my family. You know, she, and, you know, Sherry, I'm not trying to make you cry. But she believes, and we can all tell that. Let's read Mark chapter 10, verse 28. It says, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in his time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. I'm not going to sit here and say that each and every one of us, and some more than others, haven't had their fair share of heartache, and you haven't had it more difficult than most. But whatever the struggle is, I can promise you this, how blessed you are, and how blessed each and every person here is. Everything we need has been given to us by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and also by our church family. There's a quote from a W.T. Perkisser that says, not what we say about our blessings, but how we use them is a true measure of our thanksgiving. And that's what we have to do. We have to use these blessings that we have to raise our children better, to teach others Christ, to be examples, and to help us stay faithful to God. Whatever your need here is tonight, this family, this group, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are all here for you. Hopefully we can do something to help those. Help those that are either struggling or those that need your help. Anything we can do, we'll do it for you right now as we stand and as